It's 12 o'clock, Newfoundland Standard Time. Stay tuned for The Great Eastern with Paul Moth. You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave. This week on The Great Eastern...
An eclectic range, although with a distinct emphasis on erotic art.
Well, it's a surprise for you, Paul.
Let's not put all our eggs in one basket.
Is that a slur against Warren Beatty?
Happy day, Canada, bonjour, blessed Iceland, and Newfoundland, we have returned. On today's show, the future of global finance gets a 21st century twist. Personal dollar doldrums get a lift, and the crotty private art collection gets exposure. All this for you, with me, on the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine. It's that time of year again. The tax man has been rooting around in a dumpster just down the road, and who knows, your garbage could be next. Besides me, who else is completely freaked out by all this mutual fund RRSP gobbledygook? And there's retirement to think about. I'll be 50 in less than 6 months and... Oh, wait. In less than 2 months. Here to help me with the annual tax conundrum is financial advisor Owen Peddle.
Hi, Paul.
Now, you're legit, hey, Owen?
Of course.
Because I've gotten tangled up with some rather slippery characters in the past, and, well, I've lost some ground financially.
I am a member of the Old Town Brokers Association.
So then, if one of the members of that group steers me wrong, the association reimburses me.
No, you still assume all the risk.
Well, what's the purpose of the association?
Well, to give the investing consumer a sense of confidence in what is still essentially a crapshoot and... You know, to drive up fees.
That's great. Now, Owen, where am I, or any sane person, to put my money? This fund here, for instance, Juicy Growth, says that last year they got returns of 75%.
Right.
Aggressive Yield Fund claims 63%.
Mm-hmm.
Bernard Ayers, Get Your Yayas Out, Climax, Godhead, A Love Supreme Asia POW Fund says returns of 3,000%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for a guy who's getting 1.5% on his BCN Tower bonds, well, I feel like a bit of a chump.
Yeah, now, a lot of that is hype.
So? Everything is hype.
Those figures were calculated in such a way as to put the funds in the best light. In the case of Juicy Growth, that percentage, see here in the small type, that was between January 29th and February 2nd of 1996. And the Aggressive Yield Fund claims do not take into account the 35% to 45% in-out fees.
But what about Bernard Ayers? He made money on that huge Asian stumble.
Well, that fund was based on shorting Asia. He did very well.
Well, okay, let's go with him.
Asia's on the rebound, though.
Oh, geez, nothing is simple.
Bernard Ayers do offer other funds.
High returns, little risk, please.
Bernard Ayers, Beyond Good and Evil group of funds. But,
You've
heard of ethical funds?
Yes.
These they ain't.
Well, how bad can it be?
A few of the companies in the Beyond Good and Evil portfolio. South Asia, Tiny Tots Tobacco, Acid X Mining, Ohio Meat Recovery, No Name Dolphin Foods, Archer Daniels Midland, and Candow Cheese and Drilling.
Candow C&D, but I thought commodities were down.
No, Candow Cheese and Drilling produces pornography.
Oh, well, I'd like to have a problem with this, Owen, but I also don't want to be a hypocrite.
I hear you.
Sure, it's bad to market cigarettes to children in the third world, but don't I get up every morning and have a slice of toast and a cup of tea and kippers on Sunday? Where's the cutoff? And hey, I want to be in with the in crowd and make a lot of money. Beyond Good and Evil? Sign me up.
Now, let's not put all our eggs in one basket. What a financial advisor like me does is suggest a complete package. You've already made some plans for your golden years, I trust.
Oh, yes. BCN Tower Bonds, as I've said. The BCN Pension Fund, naturally, and...
Oh, dear.
What?
I'm not going to say that it's a bad fund, but...
But?
Well, the fund is administered by the BCN administration.
Who better to administer than administrators?
Well, you see, back in the late 70s, facing a temporary budgetary shortfall, management borrowed from the pension fund.
Well, they'll pay it back, surely.
Oh, yes, yes, they signed notes.
Huh.
Unfortunately, they're redeemable in 2040.
I'll be 91!
Most actuaries would guess that you would, in fact, be dead.
Dead? This is serious, Owen.
No, don't panic.
Well, that's easy for you to say. You're young and vital.
Do you have any other funds or pensions?
Oh, There's my Mexican Screenwriters Guild.
Good. How much is in that fund?
Oh, geez, it was so long ago, but I have a card here, and they have a phone number.
Well, I think you should find out how much is in there.
Hollis, can I just dial out? I'll just give him a call, Owen, and I'll do this quickly before Ish puts the kibosh on it.
No time like the present.
If you think about it, you know, it could be substantial cake. I made over 15 films when I was down in Mexico. Yes, I'm sure that the...
Cantina El Barito.
Oh, I was looking for the Mexican Screenwriters Guild.
Silencio, silencio. Mexican Screenwriters Guild.
Ah, good. Hi, my name is Paul Moth. I'm inquiring about my pension. There were source deductions taken from my checks when I worked on cinema down in Mexico.
Cantina El Barito.
I thought this was...
No, Mexican... senor. This is the Cantina El Barito, senor.
Oh, sorry.
So what did they say? How are the numbers?
Okay, Owen, let's put this in the abstract. Say I'm anybody. Say I'm 50. I'm starting from scratch, and I'd like to think about putting my feet up and retiring at around 55. Okay, make it 65.
Try 70.
All right, 70. I've been saving aggressively this year, and I put away nearly $800. Now, what portion of that will I have to dedicate to a retirement plan, and what portion can I safely afford to blow? Owen? Did I say something? Owen? Well, thank you, Owen Peddle. And I guess I'll give him a call a little later. Well, time for some music. From the west coast of Newfoundland, recorded in 1960, here's Leonard Hewlin with the Fairyland Sealer.
Off the schooner and the sloop into Fairyland at light. They were already drinking and they bound for the ice. All you lads of the southern view, glad you to beware. It is going to the ice in the spring of the year. Laddie, fill the daddy to me, right, fill the our course beneath northeast for 2 days and 2 nights. Our captain declared a place, look ahead for the ice. And we hover about standing in for the land. And within a few hours we were far amid the jam. Laddie, fill the daddy to me, right, fill the day. Oh, and now we are loaded, our schooners hear our sound. And the ice, it is opening on a fair land we're bound. We will give it a rally and to praise our fancy. Our seals here are collected by William and the Nancy. Laddie, fill the daddy to me, right, fill the day. Oh, but drink and sport and carouse for a while. And the knock-knock is there inside of Cape Royal. Laddie, fill the daddy, right, fill the day. Oh, we'll soon be, we'll see our sweethearts and friends, and we'll leave all the sailing until another spring. Laddie, fill the daddy to me, right, fill the day.
I've come to the Osborne Art Gallery to view a most celebrated and controversial exhibit. The former Commissioner of Broadcasting for Newfoundland, Sir Freeman Crotty, passed away some 18 months ago. He was a well-known philanthropist, and Sir Freeman bequeathed to the Osborne an astonishing private collection of art. Part of it is now on public display for the first time. The exhibit is called, see if I can read this, Recollecting the Unspeakable Act. Erotext Surface Jumble. How's that?
Good.
Thanks. Joining me, the show's curator, Alana Peterson, who's agreed to give me a tour.
Thanks for coming down, Paul. Shall we?
Let's.
Now, Alana, Sir Freeman was an eccentric, certainly. So is this reflected in his collection?
Yes, it's an eclectic range, although with a distinct emphasis on erotic art through the ages. And more particularly, a fascination with representations of the tumescent male.
Ah, yes. Now, this stress on the erotic is what's behind the air of scandal surrounding the exhibition.
No, there are a number of other controversies.
Oh.
Sir Freeman had important holdings of Ugubamban art, so there are issues of colonial exploitation. And he was in possession of many paintings looted by the Nazis, so there's speculation that Sir Freeman...
Yes, this is all very interesting, Alana, I know, but we only have so much time for each piece on our show, and I really wanted to get to the erotica.
All right. I know. Let's begin with the sculptures.
Okay, let's.
Sir Freeman was an avid collector of fertility figures.
Ooh!
Watch yourself.
That's sharp.
African.
You're telling me.
And over here, a particular note. Rodin's Payday aux Toilettes, or The Cottager.
Rodin, he was pretty overrated, wasn't he? This here, this is an intriguing sculpture.
Macedonian, 3rd century B.C., exquisitely crafted rendition of wrestlers.
I've never seen that wrestling hold before. It's definitely from the Greco half of the book, eh?
I said they were wrestlers. I didn't say they were wrestling.
Ah.
A lovely piece. The Macedonians were known for their fine rim work.
Mm. Apparently so. Now, what's with all the clocks, Alana?
These are horloge fantasie.
Ah, fantasy clocks.
Mm-hmm. A genre of erotica popular with the European nobility. This one, for example, by the 18th century German clockmaker Hans Timmel.
Does it still work?
Oh, yes. It's in perfect working order. Mm. You can see here, Paul, each female figurine represents a different estate.
Mm-hmm.
The peasant girl, mm. the French maid.
The nun.
The station master's wife, the lady of the manor.
Yes, I can see right down the front of their dresses here. It's exquisite detail.
Yes, there are 12 in all. Mm-hmm. And depending on the hour, we'll just set the hands to 12. Midnight.
Mm-hmm.
The figurines emerge from inside the clock to be, well, dinged by the blacksmith.
Mm, sturdy fellow.
Incredible sprocket work.
The watch takes a licking, but it keeps on ticking.
And over here, Paul.
Coming. Yes, what's this?
These flip books were very popular in 19th century France. Precursors of the blue movie, really.
Oh, yes?
No, I'm afraid you're not allowed to touch them.
Oh.
I can, though. Just watch. This one's called The Turk.
Oh, look at him go. And I'll do it backwards, mm-hmm. Alana. It looks just the same. It's great. Now, what's this booth over here all about?
That is, in fact, a kinetoscope with the earliest known pornographic movie from 1894.
Ooh, a little peep show action here.
Yes, if we just squeeze inside here and have a seat.
Oh, excuse me.
That's all right. And pull the curtain, too.
Okay.
Now, look into the viewfinder.
Right. Train pulling into Gare Austerlitz. How'd it go?
This way.
Train pulling out of station, yeah. Train pulling into station.
Time.
Train pulling out of station. Train pulling repeatedly into and out of station.
There you go.
People getting off. Steam building. And boilers ready to act. Oh, very, very interesting, Alana. That was great. Well, thanks for the tour, Alana Peterson. That's the best exhibit I've ever seen.
There's more.
Ooh, well, I'm afraid I'm finished.
There's much more. The exhibit goes on for a considerable...
Yeah, well, I think I've got what I need.
Well, maybe you'll come back another time.
That would be great. Thank you, Alana Peterson, curator of the Freeman Crotty Collection at the Osborne Art Gallery. And I urge everyone to come out and savor the controversies of this exhibit for themselves.
Regular, retired here. Join me on Monday at 2200 hours for Bombs Away! This week, Captain Reggie Rathat Pettigee of the 88th King's Own Light Camels drops by to tell us how his pucker colonial lads plugged the Khyber Pass in 42 against a crack jelly division of armored spritzers. Gunga Din! Home Guardsman Ponty Chadwell, recipient of the Charing Cross for shooting down 8 Hinkles on a single pint, throws up a bit more flack about his veterans' benefits. And, riding the jump seat, former squadron leader of the women's RAF, Spitfire Sally Tuffington, who reminisces about her gal's daring night raid on the Führer's ball. Here's a bouncing Betty off your bunker, Adolf. As you were, bombs away!
What's that bumptious rumpus, you say, that emanates from the easternmost partition of the country? Who's creating such a racket out there, and why, you wonder? Where do they find such enigmatic and culturally significant vibrations, you muse? Might I put your words in my mouth, then, and give voice to your queries? What's that noise from Newfoundland? Hollis Duffett knows, and right now he'll give you a wee tease of what it is. And remember, nothing to do with ropes, pulleys, boats, or wharves. So let's mix up the entries down here, then pull out, almost completely at random, an email. And this one is from Judy Spring of London, Ontario, and Judy writes, "Dear Paul Moth, I think the noise is the creaking door to the Newman Vaults in St. John's. These were wine cellars built to store port exported from Portugal to England via St. John's to give it that special Newfoundland flavor over 100 years before your own BCN vault was created. Well, Judy Spring of London, Ontario. Hollis, do we have a correct answer? No, sorry, Judy. Not the Newman Vaults, but thanks for the history lesson. The mystery lives to play another day. So, Hollis Duffett, let it out. Not boats, not ropes, and not Newman Vaults. Just what is it? If you've got the answer, then here's our address. The What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest. Care of the BCN, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, A1C1H5. Or you can email your entry, and that address is greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. Noise begets music here on the Great Eastern. So with Portugal and our Newman Vaults in mind, here's Tony de Matos with Lisboa o Noite.
Lisboa adormeceu, já se acenderam mil velas nos altares das colinas. Guitarras pouco a pouco emudeceram, cerraram-se as janelas pequeninas. Lisboa dorme um sono repousado nos braços voluptuosos do seu tejo. Cobriu a colcha azul do céu estrelado e a brisa veio a medo dar-lhe um beijo. Lisboa andou de lado em lado, foi ver uma toleirada, depois bailou, bebeu. Lisboa ouviu cantar o fado, rompia a madrugada quando ela adormeceu. Lisboa não parou a noite inteira, boêmia estobanada, mas bairrista. Foi à sardinha assada lá na feira e à segunda sessão de uma revista. Dali para o bairro alto, enfim, galgou. No céu a lua cheia refugia, ouviu cantar a Amália, então sonhou que era a saudade aquela voz que eu via. Lisboa ouviu cantar o fado, rompia a madrugada quando ela adormeceu.
Some BCN community announcements. The ladies of Clatterbrook Cove are on the hunt for the gentlemen of Old Conch. Next week, it's the annual fundraising campaign for the Hospitality Homes Corporation of the North Coast. Find a man up at the cabin, out on the ice, or just hiding in the bedroom, and win cash or valuable prizes donated by North Coast merchants. Come out and get a good man for a good cause. The Crèvecoeur de la Basse-Pyrénées is in, and the Friends of Unpasteurized Cheese are having a dip and roll weekend. Bring your baguettes and all of the special stable cider you can drink to Kelly's Farm on the old Spotted Cow line, the Goulds, anytime today or tomorrow. The Friends of Unpasteurized Cheese. Feel it live. And for the kids today, a free event. The Fort Waldegrave Children's Theater presents The Trial of Curious George, Part 4. This episode of the ongoing series contains the long-awaited testimony for the Crown by the man in the yellow hat. That's 3:30 this afternoon at the Battery Opera. Those are some community announcements from the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, serving the island for over 60 years.
One of our own is among the bigwigs attending the World Economic Forum, the high-prestige Geopol Circle Jerk held annually in ultra-pricey Davos, Switzerland. By phone, we have raised J. Richard Kandau. Do we have the line there, Hollis?
Bonjour, Hôtel Beaumont Hôtel. Comment je peux vous aider?
Je voudrais parler avec J. Richard Kandau.
Un moment, s'il vous plaît.
Merci. J. Richard, Paul Moff here.
Jane, please, I'm on the phone here.
You've got company.
Oh, yeah, ever see Barbarella?
Jane Fonda is there.
No, it's a lookalike.
A lookalike?
A prostitute, you know, that looks like Jane Fonda. They're all over Davos this year.
Because of Jane Fonda and Ted Turner being in attendance.
Yeah, there are Al Gore lookalikes, Bill Gates lookalikes.
So, J.R., what is the word from Davos?
I gotta tell you, Paul, I've gotten a very positive vibe from this thing. I mean, granted, you don't see a lot of the world's poor and disenfranchised, but they're always a downer. The connections I've made and the piece of the pie I'm going home with are well worth the $35,000 U.S. admission, let me tell you.
You're not there as a representative of Canada or Newfoundland, are you?
No.
Oh, thank you.
I'm representing virtual hair. It's a thing myself and Warren Beatty have going.
I was going to ask you about that, J.R. This Davos thing attracts a lot of celebrities who, let's face it, they don't have the faintest idea about global economics.
Is that a slur against Warren Beatty?
Well, it wasn't meant to...
Bonnie and Clyde! Shampoo! Red!
Yeah,
come on!
But J.R., economics? I would point to Ishtar and Dick Tracy.
He's made a few mistakes. Why is everybody giving Warren such a hard time? Look, if Jean Chrétien had made Ishtar, it would be a different story.
Okay. And what is virtual hair?
Well, it has become evident to everyone, particularly the world leader types, that a man or a woman's hair is critical to their public perception. There are a lot of people out there, good people, with good ideas who simply don't have the hair to be heard.
Well, how do it work?
Well, virtual hair is just that. It appears on the client's head when their image is broadcast.
Tricky. Is that what happened with Tobin?
That was an early prototype. Lately, he's looked great.
People on the west coast of Newfoundland spent almost a whole day watching the premier going around with an old episode of the Forest Rangers on the top of his head.
How did he look during the debate?
Well, buffed and deodorized.
Yes. And he'll win the election, Paul. A result, I think, unlikely if people realized he was completely bald.
On another matter, J. Richard, is there any truth to the rumor going around here that your European trip is connected to International Olympic Committee business?
No secret there, Paul. I'm to be appointed to the IOC board. Yes, I'm replacing one of the members forced to resign.
But what have you ever had to do with sport?
I was a bookie.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm representing the great nation of, let's see, Liberia. Anyway, I've got to go. Big seminar on managing wealth guilt. Oh, Paul, look, sorry about the Order of Canada thing, but my friends at the PMO said that one radio man was all they do for ceremony.
Yeah, sure, but Zosky?
Well, you know, it was because of his vicious, unprovoked attack on Noam Chomsky that time. A lot of people were very, very grateful. Henry Kissinger himself sent a note. Anyway, as they say here in Switzerland, Paul, Heil Hitler!
That's J. Richard Kandau at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Alpenweiss.
The Great Eastern, great radio, coast to coast in Newfoundland, on the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, BCN, 520 on the long wave.
I saw a psychiatrist this week, and after a brief but eventful meeting, he recommended a lawyer here in town who deals with problems of this nature. So while there are some kinds of confessions or revelations that one would rather not make, and these are the kind of things you wouldn't want to say on the public airwaves usually, here goes. 3 weeks ago...
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Director of Radio, Ish Lundrigan. Oh, what's going on, Ish?
I have to address the country on a matter of great importance, Paul. I'm coming in.
Matter of great importance? Oh, dear God, they've landed, haven't they?
What?
They've come back to finish it off.
Oh, loyal listeners far and wide, it gives me a huge amount of pleasure to announce that this show is Great Eastern number 3,000.
3,000 shows? Why wasn't I told of this?
Well, it's a surprise for you, Paul.
Well, I'm certainly plussed.
Yes, from its earliest beginnings on the newly formed Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland in 1935, through several wars and many insurrections and much political turmoil, the Great Eastern has steamed on, her engine one of cultural divergence, her sails bellied by the winds of change, her screws propulsing her through always active waters.
How many of the shows have I hosted?
So, about 80 or thereabouts, I believe.
So I must have had my 250th show in the summer sometime.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, excuse me for thinking it might have been a significant date-ish, but wasn't there some sort of acknowledgement of that?
Well, we didn't want to take the luster off the larger celebration.
Oh, I see.
Now, cheer up, Paul boy. This is by coincidence.
There are no coincidences, is.
Well, something here for you. By coincidence, this is also the 100th Great Eastern on the CBC, the Canadian Broadcast Corporation, and you've been a big part of that.
100 shows to Canada?
Yes, and we received a nice letter, too. A commendation from Alex Frame, my opposite number, the vice president in charge of English radio at the CBC.
Let me see that. It doesn't mention me. And still nothing about next year.
And enclosed a very nice personal touch. A $100, get that, a $100 gift certificate for the CBC boutique in the Toronto Telecasting Tower.
I'll be able to get all those mementos I've always needed.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, now, I see we've got a control room full of friends from all around the station there. There's Morris Gesso, Jerome Granger, Ariel Flint, Budge Doyle.
Yeah. Rita, roll in that cake now.
Come on in, everybody, come on in.
Happy anniversary, Paul. Happy anniversary to the great... Happy 100! Happy 3,000! Okay, Paul, wrap her up now.
Aye, aye, Skipper. Keep her down now, everybody, and save me a slice of that cake! We are live to you, thanks to Hollis Duffett, our technical engineer, and Ish Lundgren, our director of radio. If you'd like to send us a congratulatory note on either our 3,000th or 100th anniversaries, our address is care of the BCN, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, A1C1H5. Or you can reach us on the internet, greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. Many celebratory moments appear on our website, www.greateastern.cbc.ca. My name is Paul Moss. Join me again next week for the 3,001st Great Eastern Newfoundland Cultural Magazine.
Good afternoon. I'm your award-winning weather watchdog, Erling Biggs, with Traffic Alert. Traffic Alert brought to you by Furlong's Confections, purveyors of fine knobs to Newfoundlanders for even longer than the Great Eastern has been on the air. Allow me to add my voice to the clamor of tri-millennial birthday wishes. Let's hope the old boat has another few voyages in her before she's finally scuttled. Now, some announcements. Shear the Rubber. St. John's Tire Shear will be holding a drop-off of used winter tires in the parking lot of Bolaroo. That's all day today until 6 p.m. Donations will be sorted into matched pairs and distributed to the tireless. Buddy, can you spare a spare? Also of note, this afternoon at 3, the circle will finally be closed as the city's outer ring road...